Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
The reggae music is the heartbeat of the people.
Hey everybody, it is Rockin' the Suburbs. My name is Patrick Foster, and on behalf of Jim Lenahan, I want to welcome you to this episode, a Friday episode, wrapping up a perfect pop week here in Rockin' the Suburbs. Now, I want to tell our regular listeners and everybody who's listening that I've done some work with the excellent information that intern Sam Lisker has collected and posted on the suburbspod.com website, specifically with the song list. And I've come up with some really interesting things, and I'm working on gathering some information that will bring you fascinating insights, but I don't have it ready yet. So stay tuned, and I will be bringing you some fascinating data sets and incredible information from the studying I've been doing here on the perfect pop pantheon. It's a fascinating thing that's we put together here over these many years, these many episodes. I want to thank everybody who's contributed a song, and as I said yesterday, we are wide open for you to do so. If you'd like, you can create a voice file and email it to rock@suburbspod.com. Just put perfect pop in the subject line. That's super helpful. And then, depending on your mood, you could...
If you're glad or sad or high, call the Suburban Party Line.
And that number is 612-440-1984. Today, we're going to add a song into the Perfect Pop Pantheon. It's going to go on this big list we have compiled. And it really is like being inducted into a certain exclusive group when you are chosen for Perfect Pop on Rockin' the Suburbs. One reason I went in to look at the list of all the songs that have been included in Perfect Pop, nominated, inducted, was to find out how many instrumentals were in there. And I came across a couple. I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but I am working on that. But I thought it was interesting about instrumental songs being included. And in many cases, certainly the majority of songs do have lyrics and vocals. But the one I am going to introduce today, induct, nominate, put in the Perfect Pop Pantheon, is an instrumental. And it is a song called The Return of Django, recorded by a group called the Upsetters in the year, probably recorded in 1968. It was released widely on the Upsetter label in the UK in 1969. This record was a double A-side, essentially, with a song called Dollar in the Teeth, but it was Return of Django that made it as the big hit. It made it all the way up to number 5 on the UK singles chart in the year 1969. Apparently, this song, one reason it gained popularity, besides being a fantastic song, in my opinion, and it's one of those instantly memorable melodies. It's one of those things that makes you want to start moving your feet and your hips and your arms and your neck and your head and your torso. Was used in a Cadbury's chocolate commercial that was directed by Terry Gilliam. and so that was another reason it gained popularity, apparently. The song was a reference to a spaghetti western film from 1966 called Django, directed by Sergio Corbucci, and notoriously violent film with a lot of guns and shooting and things like that. I think at first it was not even permitted to be released in the United States because of that violence. So that's the film where they got the title. The Upsetters are kind of a slippery group to get your hands on because essentially they were a studio band employed by Lee Scratch Perry. Now, this version that recorded this song, it's very difficult to get exact personnel. Even some of the deeper discographies are a little sketchy. If having any information at all on who played on this particular one. Now, of course, the band The Upsetters went on to record a bunch of songs behind Lee Scratch Perry. They were an instrumental group, very famous for not only their own albums, but the songs they played on. We do know for sure that Aston Family Man Barrett played on this record, because you can find some interviews with him where he discusses it. One thing he said in one piece of information I found is that he thought this record would be a number one hit if the Upsetters had been able to get to the UK and do a tour when the record was out. But one of Lee Scratch Perry's acquaintances stabbed him in the arm right before they were getting ready to go on tour, and they were unable to make that tour until a few months later when he got better. One of the very colorful incidences in the life of Lee Scratch Perry. And I do want to remind people, if you want to go back to Suburbs Pod, we've done a few episodes on him. Episode 1203 was a memoriam episode after his passing in 2021. And in 2023, put together an episode on how to start getting into his music, a vast catalog. And Vasant Ramamurthy called up a few days later to add some thoughts to that. So there are three episodes out there, 1203, 1574, and 1581, if you want to learn a little more about Lee Scratch Perry. But this fabulous track, Return of Django, it's one of those ones that transports you. This was a big record for a lot of different social groups, youths, and the like in the UK, not only in 69, but for years and years afterwards. And it still sounds as fresh and inviting as it was when it was recorded. I can only imagine what it what a breath of fresh air it must have been to hear it for the first time on the radio. But with that, the Upsetters, Return of Django, perfect pop, perfect from start to finish, in my opinion, and I am going to put it in the perfect pop pantheon today. Stay tuned for more thoughts. I will be delivering some groundbreaking data from Perfect Pop when that important work is complete. It may take many, many, many weeks of daily crunching of numbers and data to find out these incredible insights that we will bring to you at some point, don't worry, on Rockin' the Suburbs. So with that, I want to wish you all a happy weekend. On behalf of Jim Linehan, I'm Patrick Foster. Here is Return of Django. It is Perfect Pop, and we will talk to you guys next week. Youths and the like.